This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm here with David Cottrell, and he has created a legacy of leadership excellence. During his 3 decades of leadership experience in corporate America, David has lived the obstacles, frustrations, and issues today's leaders face. The best-selling business author of more than 25 highly acclaimed books, David has been a featured expert on public television and has shared his leadership philosophy and lessons with more than 250,000 managers and leaders worldwide. He's currently CEO and president of Cornerstone Leadership Institute, one of the nation's largest publishers of management and leadership resources. Good evening to you, David.
Well, good morning to you.
Now, we're going to be talking about your book, right? And this is the Monday Morning Choices. So in the book, you started off with the foundation of success and talks about the character choices, and we have to identify our values. And you talked about choosing the right enemies. What do you mean by that?
Thank you. That's a good question. You know, one of the things that I think is important for everyone as they're moving down their career path and trying to become the person that they want to be is to understand that they're not going to be able to please everyone. There will come a time and come a place where you will have to go on the opposite side of other people. And what I'm trying to say in the book is that you need to choose the right enemies for the right reasons. If someone is attacking you personally or attacking you because of your values, it's a good choice to allow them to become someone that you're not going to be associated with anymore. Mm-hmm. One of the major elements of success for anybody is who you choose to be around. Right. Who do you choose to spend your time with? Who do you choose to spend your energy with? Who do you choose to share with, and who do you choose to lift you up as you're trying to lift them up as well? And the key element in that particular chapter that you're talking about is you can't please everyone. Make sure you're going to please the right people, the ones who can help elevate you to become the person that you're really trying to be, as opposed to drag you down to keep you from becoming that type of person.
Right. It's a case of, I guess, picking your battles.
It's picking your battles, yes. You can't win every battle and you can't fight every battle. But what you have to do is to understand what are your values. What are the things that are non-negotiable? What are the things that are not up for debate? And stand firm on those as opposed to trying to stand firm on everything just to please people to prevent them from being against you on a particular right. side. You need to stand firm.
What if you have to work with some of these people whose values just don't align with yours?
Well, you will have to work with them. That is a common thing that's going to happen to everyone. You will not always be working with people whose values align with yours and who do things the way that you think that they should be done. What you can do to start with is to provide them the respect and the dignity that they deserve, but not sacrifice yours just to try to please them. Mm. Now, if that particular person happens to be your boss, happens to be the person that you report to in whatever organization that you might be in, you have to be submissive to that boss. You have to do what needs to be done, but if it attacks your value system and if it makes you do things that are against what you feel are ethically or morally correct, you're going to have to make a decision. And the decision is, are you going to sacrifice those values or are you going to go somewhere else so that you can be productive and be a good employee for someone else? That's sort of a hard thing to do, but there comes a time in almost everybody's career that you hit that crossroad and you do have to make a decision. Are my values worth standing up for or not? And if they are, I might have to make even a tougher decision to go somewhere else to make sure that I'm aligned with the values that I subscribe to.
What about the commitment choice? What's this?
Well, the commitment choice is being all in all the time. When you're committed to something, a lot of people will want to be committed to becoming better, to read more, to do more, to getting to work earlier, and all of these things that might create a change on that end. Well, most people that do that, though, are not really committed to do it. They're more interested in doing it and hope that it happens. Hmm. The commitment choice is where you really make a commitment to do what is necessary to help you start becoming the person that you want to be. And by doing that, you have to commit to goals. You have to understand that you have to have goals to lead you to where you're trying to go, or you're going to go somewhere that you probably don't want to go to. You've got to be dedicated to it, commit time to it, commit to your energy and efforts in achieving that. And so all of those are part of the commitment choice that you make. But the first part of it, the first element before you can even get started in that commitment choice is really is understanding two things. Who do I want to become? And if you can understand that, then everything else will start to clarify itself. So who do I want to become? And then once you do that, the second thing is, now what do I need to do to start becoming that person? And that's when your commitment begins. It's when you clarify what it is and you put a game plan into action to make that happen.
Right. Speaking of action, you talked about the do something choice and don't vacation on Someday Isle. Where is this Someday Isle?
Well, Someday Isle is a fictional place, but it's full of people. Well, what I'm saying in the book in that particular chapter is that a lot of people will have these grandiose idea, and someday I'll do this, and someday I'll take care of this situation, or someday I'll address this conflict that I've had with somebody else. This someday I'll is full of people, and what you have to do to be successful is to get off of someday I'll. That is not a place that you need to be. What leads to someday I'll is procrastination. It leads to not having clarity about what you want to do. It leads to holding back in addressing issues that might be a little bit difficult to be addressed. But Someday Isle is not a pleasant place for anyone. And it's not a pleasant place for the people around you either. Because if you keep saying that someday I'll do this, someday I'll do that, someday I will commit to this, then all of a sudden Someday Isle becomes your home. And nobody's going to even believe you when you say that you're really going to do something, because they know where you live and you live on Someday Isle.
I'm here with David Cottrell talking about his book, Monday Morning Choices. We'll discuss the adversity and investment choices right after this in Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
It's Raise Your Game. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. I'm speaking to David Cottrell, talking about his book, Monday Morning Choices. He's a CEO and President of Cornerstone Leadership Institute. So we were discussing some of the choices in life a little earlier on, David, and the adversity choice. How do you conquer difficult times? And I know this is probably a popular one with many.
Well, this is one we all have to face. You know, every successful person has faced and conquered some kind of adversity along the way. And a lot of people will look at people and say, man, they're just lucky, or they got this because they just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Well, all those could be true to a certain level, but really what separates the most successful from the people who are not quite as successful is making the right choices and eliminating as many bad choices as you can. Well, one of the things that happens to everybody is adversity will come along and strike. It'll strike like a snake that will hit you and put venom in you and get back to its striking point within seconds, and you don't even know what happened. And when that happens, what you have to do is to understand that the situation that you're in is not unique to you. Other people have had the same thing happen to them. Other people have made it through it. There is hope. There is a way through it. That's number one. Also involved in overcoming adversity is understanding, too, that even as bad as the situation is, you probably haven't lost everything. There are probably some things that are still hanging on that you need to cling to. For instance, if you lose your job, you haven't lost everything. You might have lost that particular job for that particular time, but what you have that you need to cling on to is that you have experience, that you have knowledge, that you have things that you can offer someone else that you might not have been able to offer to before. So the whole chapter on adversity is taking this difficult situation that nobody would ask for and probably nobody deserves to have and making it the very best that you can. And the major point of that is not being stuck in the adversity. It's moving forward, regardless of how hard that it is. You need to continue to move forward as opposed to being stuck in the area that created the adversity for you. It's the most common issue that everybody will have is adversity. And what I try to do in that chapter is to give a path to where people can move out of the adversity that they're in and move on to something new. Exit this really tough stuff and enter into something that might be even greater and grander than you could have imagined before this adversity happened.
My mantra would be, this too shall pass.
My mother used to say that, and I quote her all the time. You know, she would always say that, and for years it didn't mean anything to me, but now as I'm older, and I've spread it down to my children and grandchildren, it means a whole lot to me. This too shall pass is exactly right.
Now, you talked about investment choices, and I'm just trying to find the connection here. In investment choices, you discussed the criticism choice and to embrace tough learning. How is that part of an investment choice?
The investment choices have nothing to do with money. Mm. They have nothing to do with finances or anything like that. They have to do with relationships. And what I'm saying in that category of choices is the investments that you make in people and yourself are what will help get you to the next level that you're trying to do. The criticism choice, which is one of them, is accepting criticism to understand that what you're hearing has at least some nuggets of truth in it. So there's at least something that you can do to become better. There's a saying that I've said all the way through the book there that I really believe is true, and that is that something can be done. No matter what the situation is, something can be done, so there's always hope. Mm. And then the second half of that sentence is, and there's something that I can do. So there's always hope, and the ball's in my court. So what can I do? So who am I going to invest in to help make that happen? So that's what the investment choices are about. And then, in addition to that, it's investing in yourself. I think that one of the common elements that separate the most successful people from people who don't quite reach that area is that the most successful people continue to learn. They never stop learning. They read more. They listen more. They study more. They adjust more. They change more. They're always learning. They're not content with just what they have. They have a real focus and a real passion for learning. And I think everybody I talk to in a seminar or in a speech, one thing I tell everybody there is that what they need to do is to read one book a month. Just read one book a month on whatever the subject matter might be that you're interested in. And in 5 years, you would have read 60 books. Now, in that 5 years, you're going to learn a lot of stuff from a lot of different people. You're going to be investing in your knowledge base. Mm. And when a job comes up that you're ready for, in 5 years, if you've read those 60 books and you've started formulating the way that you think about things, you'll be more qualified 99% of the time than the other people will that are going after those same jobs. So I think that investing in ourselves, just a book a month, one book a month, half a chapter a day, 10 minutes a day, can literally make the difference in people's lives just as it has mine.
Right. You know, in the reality choice, you said to face the truth. Why is that difficult?
We all want to think the truth is what we want it to be, you know, and it's really not that way. What we have to do is to have some good, trusted advisors to help us understand all elements of the truth, not just what we want, but what the truth really is. And my philosophy on trusted advisors is that they're not friends that help me do this. My friends help build me up, but friends typically are not the best at providing you this type of feedback that you need to make some adjustments. I think that the best thing that you can have is a mentor that's a little bit disidentified from you personally, so that they can tell you what the truth is from their perspective, and you're going to have to accept it yourself one way or the other. You're going to have to accept it as total truth or partial truth or no truth and make your adjustments on there. But I think that it's real important that we look for what the truth really is, and getting that from as many different sources as we can, as opposed to what we wish the truth was or what we think the truth is. And one thing that in a customer service arena, for every complaint you get, there are 14 other people that do not complain about the same thing. And I think in the personal leadership or personal development side of what we do, I think that that equation is not much different. For every criticism that you might get, there might be three or four or maybe even 14 people that might have the same thing that's not telling you. So to dig down and get the truth is one of the things that will separate you from everybody else, so that you can make better choices to provide people a path to where they can become successful at the same time that you're becoming the success and the person that you want to be.
Right. Now, how can you bring these Monday morning choices into an organization?
The way that we recommend it is that these choices, if you look at them just on the surface, there's 12 choices. They're nothing that is going to just blow your mind and say, man, I've never thought of anything like this. They're simple choices. What they are thought starters and thought generators. The way that the most successful companies have used this book is that they will get the book and they will provide it to a group of employees within their organization. And then on a Monday morning, which is when most people choose, although you could choose any day, but on Monday morning you start it off and you say, okay, let's take chapter one. Everybody's assignment over the previous week was to read chapter one, and then you start talking about it. Now, you know, what is he saying? Do we agree with what he's saying? It gets the conversation going. It gets people involved. What I have found in organizations all across the country and all across the world is that when people are involved, they're much more committed to what you're trying to do. And it creates that environment to where people can be involved simply because they're talking about it, they're on the same language, they understand where everybody is coming from because they've discussed it, and they can do something different that particular week. Let's just say it was the commitment choice week. If it's talking about the commitment choice and you're sitting around talking about, well, what kind of commitments can we make as an organization? What kind of commitments can we make personally? What kind of commitments, you know, you might want to take it down to your family. What kind of commitments can I make there? It gets the conversation flowing, and everybody can participate and allows you as the leader of that group to understand more of what is driving all the people within your organization so that you can make better choices in how you provide them the leadership that they need.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. I know it's early morning for you. It's late evening for me, but it's been a wonderful time to talk.
I'm speaking to David Cottrell, talking about his book, Monday Morning Choices. This is Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.